Palmerston, New Zealand. Ellen G. White. It is now 3 months since we left Melbourne. We have traveled about 2,500 miles by sea and by land, and I have written over 300 pages of letter paper and spoken to the people 41 times. And yet I am gaining in health and strength, for which I render thanksgiving and praise to God. After the close of the camp meeting in Napier, we decided to visit Wellington and to spend a few days laboring with the little company of Sabbath keepers here, who are pleading for help. Palmerston is about 5 hours' ride from Napier, and it is nearly as far on to Wellington. For 2 or 3 hours after leaving Napier, we passed through a rich farming country dotted with small towns. In some of these, some labor has been bestowed, and there are a few families of Sabbath keepers. Farther on, the country is newer. It is quite level and heavily timbered, and the large, fertile pastures, full of stumps and half-burned logs, remind us of the newer portions of Michigan, Canada, and York State. Palmerston is a prosperous town of 6,000 inhabitants. It is a railroad center, and the principal town in a large and fertile district. 4 years ago, meetings were held here by Elder Robert Hare, but the population of the place has doubled since that time. During our short visit, but little can be done except to encourage and counsel the little company of believers. Our laborers must learn at the foot of the cross the lessons to be communicated to the people. Thus will they bring sheaves to Jesus Christ. In the first chapter of Corinthians, Paul has given us instruction which every true laborer needs to study, especially the following. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Here is a lesson of special consequence to every worker in the vineyard of the Lord. The result will not be good if men preach to please the people, while the truth is not held forth in a manner to bring them to the cross of Christ. The messenger of God must present the truth plainly and keep in distinct view before the people their peril in neglecting eternal interests. While self is kept out of sight, Jesus must be ever lifted up and exalted. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26-31. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. The apostle feared lest his work should stand in the wisdom of men and not in the power of God, and thus his labor proved to be a work which would not produce a harvest.
And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not of the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 to 9. Now, the explanation of this wisdom that the world has not seen, nor heard, nor known. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The words contained in this chapter should be imprinted on the soul of every laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. Those who seek wisdom in the study of the world's authors are not drinking from the pure fountain flowing from the throne of God. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people hath forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their way from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. Jeremiah 18, verse 14, 15. Let the men who are engaged in the solemn work of bearing the last message to the world heed the exhortation of Paul. Preach the word, not the science of phrenology or the productions of human speculations. Listen to the words of inspiration addressed to Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they, the people, heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now hear the words addressed to the messengers who bear the God-given message to the people in these last days. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Especial heed should be given to the words of the Apostle. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. The minister of the gospel is never exhorted to strive to be a clever preacher, a popular speaker, but he is commanded, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. 2 Timothy 2, verse 14 to 16. Will every messenger of God give heed to these words? We can reach the people only through the Spirit of God. If the human agent is cooperating with the divine, an efficiency and a power will attend his labors which will bring souls to the knowledge of the truth. Our appointed task is to sow beside all waters, to seize every opportunity which presents itself to cast in the seeds of truth. Let every youthful laborer engaged in any branch of the work consider that he is wearing the armor of Jesus Christ, marshaled under his banner to wisely meet the enemy. Christ is our captain and leader. We are to obey his orders in doing the work appointed us, which is to sow and reap and garner in his harvest. Let all consider that we are stewards of the manifold grace of God, and realize that of these stewards, faithfulness is expected. Faithfulness and care in the use of means committed to your trust. Faithfulness in setting an example of simplicity in dress. Let strict economy mark your course of action, and by diligent use, increase the talents with which you have been entrusted.